Luke chapter 24. Students, Theo, I'm sure, preached a better sermon on this text recently because it was his testimony that got me reading this text. So it's fine. You need revision. You got the revision yet tonight. But Luke chapter 24. Now that very same day, what day? The day when Jesus rose from the grave. The day when these two disciples, Cleopas and his companion, we don't know his companion's name. These two disciples left Jerusalem. So chapter 24 starts with three women or five women who went to the grave site, to where Jesus was buried. And they went there. And as they went there, we'll see in the picture later, in the story later. As they went there, all of a sudden, they got a fright because the grave was open. The big stone had been rolled away. There were no soldiers guarding the grave anymore, the tomb anymore. And they were standing there and they didn't know what to do with that whole thing. And as they were watching, they look inside and they didn't find Jesus in there. The body of Jesus was gone. And what they saw was an angel who said, "He's no longer here. He's not dead. He is risen as he said. Go and tell your friends." And they got a fright and they rang back and they told the disciples. And these two, they just decided, this is it. This is over. I mean, for 3.5 years, I've given my life to Jesus. I lost the nets as he told me to. I left it. I left my parents. I left my business that I would have inherited from my father. And I've gave up on everything. And I started to walk with Jesus. And I've given up everything, and I was waiting. I thought that he was the Messiah. I thought that he would be the Messiah. We have a fuzzy concept. It just means the anointed king of Israel who's going to reign and bring God's kingdom, God's reign, God's peace to Israel to deliver them from oppression, from the Roman oppressions who incidentally killed Jesus. So these two disciples is like, we're over with this, man. We're done. We're hopeless. I've had enough of this waiting for Jesus. I mean, they just decided. So that is the same day that they're talking about. Two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Can we just see the picture? Thank you, Andre. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. What was everything that had happened? As they were walking, they were debriefing one another. And they're saying, listen, so 3.5 years ago, we saw at John's baptism of Jesus, we heard the voice that says, "This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, follow him." And we did, you know, we walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. We saw him healing blind people, and all of a sudden they could see. We saw the time when a man was dropped from the roof because the house was so full that they couldn't bring this lame man in, but some creative friends just decided, our friend is getting healed today. And they broke open the roof of the house and lowered Jesus on this scaffold. What do we call that thing? Not a scaffold. What do we call it? Stretcher. Thank you. SC. Anyway, so stretcher down there. And Jesus said to him, "Your sins are forgiven. Go." And they go like, what? This man has the authority to forgive sins and someone gets healed. We saw the fact that the man was born blind for 38 years, was blind, and Jesus healed him. We saw Jesus raising the widow of Nain's daughter from the death, Jairus' daughter from the death. We saw Lazarus was dead for 3 days, and Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out!" And he came out. And they go like, this is the Messiah. This is obviously the Messiah. This is the one that we've been waiting for, the anointed king of Israel. We saw him calming a storm. We were drowning. We were on that boat drowning. These two guys were on that boat drowning, and Jesus said, "Peace, quiet, oh, you little faith people, what on earth are you doing?" And they go like, wow. We saw the boat stopping on the other side with the Gadarenes, and a crazy demon-possessed man who's been there all his life runs from the tombs, breaks every chain, literally every single chain. And he was crazy coming on Jesus, and Jesus said, "Demons, legion, be gone." And a whole herd of pigs ran down a hill. They go like, this is, I mean, imagine seeing that, being there. It's like, this is big. This is big. This is Jesus. This is, and then he broke bread. He saw that they were the ones who said, "Little boy, you've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Okay, 5,000 people. Is this enough? Let's do this." They were there. They brought that fish. So they go like, the Messiah can do anything. And then they just saw him growing in popularity. 3 days earlier, 4 days earlier, 4 days before this journey, they saw him coming down the hill just after a few of them heard. Peter told them they were on the mountain, and they saw all of a sudden, just after he said that you are the Christ, the anointed one of God, Peter was the one who voiced them. All of them knew this inside, that this is the Messiah, the Christ that everyone is waiting for. And they saw again the transfiguration on the mountain, came down a hill. Another boy was, adult boy was delivered of the demons. And again, they got the words, oh, ye of little faith, you little faith people. Come on, man. When are you growing up? And then from there on, they walked directly to Jerusalem. And as they came into Jerusalem 4 days earlier, there were the palm branches. And the whole of Jerusalem came for the feast of Passover. And the whole of Jerusalem, everyone was shouting, this is the king. Hosanna to the king of Israel. Hosanna meaning, save God. You're about to save Israel. And it's amazing. And that night, these two were probably the guys who also got the colt. Jesus saying, prepare a colt for me so that I can ride in like a king on a donkey. It's like, and then he said, prepare a room for me. And they had a Passover. And he broke the bread. And they had this precious moment. They went out to pray in the garden, singing a few hymns. Jesus was praying seriously. And then 400 soldiers that evening, 4 days ago, 400 soldiers marched up to Jesus to arrest him in the garden. And then Jesus did his thing. He said, we're looking for Jesus from Nazareth. And he goes, I am he. And 400 soldiers fall flat on their back. And these two disciples were with the other disciples going, this is it. This is the Messiah. This is the Messiah. Go Romans. Woo. And then that night, Jesus handed him over to these soldiers and saying, leave me. Handed him over. There was a mock trial by the Gupta priesthood, corrupt priesthood of the day. That evening, the next morning, he was handed over to Pilate, to Herod, to Pilate, and he got killed. And they were like, what is... We thought you were going to be the Messiah. We thought you were. So that was what they were discussing with one another on the road. It's like, what's this? We were setting ourselves up for this whole military campaign with the anointed king of Israel, this good king. And all of a sudden, as they were walking, discussing these things with one another, Jesus himself. Can you see who's Jesus in this picture? I don't know. I mean, if he was wearing white, what? Anyway. Everyone knew. Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, so what are you discussing with one another? As they were walking these 7 miles, it took them 6 hours, 8 hours. They stood still, their faces downcast. They were depressed, just like Yoshi said. They were just depressed. They were like, I have no more strength. I'm disillusioned. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? It's like where were you, dude? That's a new translation. Where were you? I mean, 4 days ago, all of Jerusalem was in white and in palm branches. All of them, everyone, literally everyone from all Israel came, and they were waiting for Jesus to be Messiah, to be crowned the king of Israel. The next day, everyone was killing him, shouting, kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him, everyone. And he was crucified. Public spectacle, here to there. The whole place was a mess with military people running all over. Where were you? I mean, how did you miss this? That's what they're asking Jesus. Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And Jesus asked them again, so what things? And then he said, okay. So about this Jesus of Nazareth, he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God. I don't want you to miss what's happening here. What did they crown him as? What did they shout 4 days ago? What did Peter confess about Jesus? You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. You are the King of Israel. You're the one that we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for you to bring your reign. And now after this whole disillusionment, after this whole, okay, so you died. What is Jesus all of a sudden? Now that I'm disappointed, now that I've lost all hope, all of a sudden, Jesus is just a prophet. Why? Because if you're Messiah, you can't die. Messiah can't die. Prophets can die. Messiah can't die. Hopelessness, disillusionment, disappointment does this to you. In your head, you have to do something with who God is. You have to adjust your head because your circumstances are telling you, my idea of who God is has changed. Can't be right. Because if God is so good to me, why on earth, if I gave my whole life to serve Him, if I have left everything to follow Him, if I have been faithful with Him through difficulties, through the four times that the Jews tried to kill us in the past, through hunger, through everything, if I've been faithful to Him, how on earth am I going through hardship right now? How's that possible? How did He not do what I thought He would do, but what I thought all of us, I thought we're coming to Jerusalem to become Messiah, but now we're not. So He must be a prophet now. The Gupta priests and all our rulers handed Him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified Him. And on these words, but we had hoped. Man, we had hoped. Man, we had hoped. We banked up all, we planned our lives according to this thing. If you want to know what hope means, it means what you plan your life according to, what you expect to happen. And they go, man, we expected this thing to happen. It didn't happen. We had hoped that He was the one, He was the Messiah who's going to redeem Israel. And that's more, it's now the third day since all of this took place. And in addition, some of our women, they amazed us. Do these women amaze you as well? Anyway, they amazed us. They went up to the tomb early in the morning, but they didn't find His body. They came and they told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said He was alive. And some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they didn't see Jesus. So, and with them being on the road, they go like, you know, they saw a vision of angels, the woman, you know, women see stuff, so. But we're over this, man. We're over this waiting for the Messiah thing. We've lost all hope. We're disappointed. You know, I'm gonna do something else with my life. I've been waiting for this Jesus Messiah thing for too long. I gave up my life. Let's go back to business. And then Jesus said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe everything that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and enter in His glory? Did He not have to suffer before He entered into His glory? Didn't He have to suffer? And then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, that's why I said 6 to 8 hours, Moses and all the prophets, He explained to them what was said in all the scriptures about Himself, Jesus. They still didn't know this is Jesus, but He just said, listen, let me tell you, let me backtrack on you. You know what's the amazing thing of hopelessness, of major disappointment? The blessing of major disappointment is it gives you an opportunity to reevaluate what you believe. It forces you, in fact, it forces you to reevaluate what you really believe. What do you expect? And this is what's so beautiful to me. Jesus finds these two men who just started stuff this. This is it now. We're no longer going to wait in Jerusalem. I know that the angels said to the woman, stay in Jerusalem. But we're over this. I mean, this is just enough. I'm done. I'm walking. I'm out of here. I've waited for Jesus for long enough. Let's go on with my own life now. And they walked. And then Jesus finds them on the road. They didn't come looking for Him. He went to walk with them. Cruised with them. Walked with them slowly. And the first thing that Jesus does is He says, let's go back to that text. Let's go back to those scriptures. What does it really say? I know what you believed it would have said. I know you expected a military hero who's going to, you know, give those Romans what they really deserve because they're a brutal, violent bunch. And you want God's kingdom. Actually, what you want is God's retribution. You want to be the boss. You're sick and tired of being slaves. So that's what you were waiting for. But Jesus says, let's look at the text again about the Messiah. Let's see what Isaiah says about this suffering servant. Let's look at Psalm 22 that says that all my bones and joints were out of place. Let's look at Psalm 37. Let's look at those texts again and see what it says about the Messiah. And as they approached the village a few hours later, to which they were going, to Emmaus, Jesus continued as if he was going further away. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us. Please don't go. Please don't go away. Please don't go on. No, stay with us. We love what you're doing. Stay here. Stay here. Something, our hearts are burning inside. Stay with us for the evening. Because it's nearly evening and the day is almost over. But just stay with us. We want you to be with us. So Jesus went with them and to stay with them. And as he was at the table with them, he did what he always did. He took the bread. He gave thanks to God and he broke it. And he started handing them out. And all of a sudden, their eyes were opened. They recognized this man because he's done this before. And they recognized him for who he was. And he disappeared from them, from their sight. And they looked at each other and they go, wow. Weren't our hearts burning inside when he was breaking over the text to us? Weren't it burning inside of us? Didn't life come back to our hearts? Didn't we feel that passion again that we felt once before? Didn't our hearts burn? Wasn't our hope rekindled when he opened the scripture to us? And immediately, at night, they said, Jesus, you shouldn't go on. It's dark outside. You shouldn't journey anymore. It's dangerous. And they got up and they said, no, we're going on. They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, it's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. I want you to pause there if you missed this because I'm reading it too fast. They got back. And they wanted to tell everyone, oh, the Lord appeared to us on our way to Emmaus. And it's Jesus, you know. We just walked another 6 to 8 hours. Jesus found us there. And they go, before you open your mouth, it's like, the Lord appeared to us when we went fishing because we were done with this Jesus thing as well. And while we were on the beach, the Lord appeared to Simon. And you remember that bit where he jumped out of the boat and he swam, you know, crazy because the Lord said to Simon, again, you're fishing on the wrong side. Throw the nets on the other side. And it's like, And he threw it out and caught 172 big fish. And he go like, wow, I know this man who does these things. I've done this before. And he jumps back and he swim without his clothes all the way, you know, to the beach and saying, oh, Lord, forgive me. And then Jesus said to him, shepherd my sheep, do you love me? He says, yeah, I love you. And he said, no, the Lord has appeared to us as well. And then these two men said, wow, let me tell you what happened to us while we were walking away from Jesus as well. How Jesus was recognized by them, not by the preaching, not by the miracles, but by what? By that thing which we always did when we got together, when we broke the bread, when we had fellowship with him and with one another. That's what opened our eyes, that moment when we broke the bread like we always did. I love this text. There are four movements in the text, which I'm sure you picked up on. It's quite simple to see that four different movements. First movement is these two disciples, Cleopas and his friend, who's just, they're over it, man. They're disillusioned. They've lost all hope. They were waiting for Jesus to be crowned, to become king, for God's kingdom to come, because they've been praying for this forever. And then they met a man who could do miracles and who was kind in his heart and was faithful to God. And what he did in Israel is he just stirred people to be faithful. And they waited for that. And now he died. How inconvenient to them. Like, I've given my life and now you die. What's the point? What was the point of 3.5 years of discipleship and you die? You know? And they were just hopeless and they just started to stuff this. I'm walking away from Jesus. I've waited for long enough for my husband. I've waited long enough for my baby. I've banked on my business. I've praying for my dad, but my dad died of cancer. I've had enough. I've been trusting him for so long, and now it didn't happen. You know, I prayed that God would protect me, and he didn't. He didn't. I went on a mission with God, and I had a major disappointment with God. You know, it's like I put out my faith there. I did what I thought God said to me to do, and now the company sank, and I'm jobless, you know. Like, what's the point, God? What's the point? I gave 3 years of my life for that thing, and it didn't happen. I thought that's what you said, God. I thought that if I served you, my life would be easy, that you would win. But it doesn't seem as though you're winning, God. You know, hopelessness. Walk out, and I love this. Where do you find Jesus in these pictures? Well, in two pictures there. First of all, Jesus found them. the last 2 years, I've seen so many people that were just absolutely, absolutely hopeless. And I'm so enjoying seeing what I'm seeing, because mostly I work in church, but it's so good to have conversation with people and to hear that they didn't meet Jesus in the church. Jesus found them there. While they were living with their girlfriend and everything went south, it was like bad. Jesus found them there. They walked away from Jesus because, you know, my mom died or whatever happened in their life. But Jesus finds them there. Jesus finds us there when we are hopeless. He doesn't just meet with us in church or in your Bible prayer and meeting when you're faithful. He finds you there. And he's saying, hey, I am the good shepherd. If you walk away, I'm coming. You can try to walk away from me, Jesus says, but I says, I'm right here, right here. He says, even if you don't notice me in the beginning, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm working. I'm the one. And I love what he does there, what Jesus does patiently. Jesus meets with them, but he's wise to not show them himself to go back. What does he do? He says, let's reevaluate what you think. Let's reevaluate what you believe. Let's reevaluate it, because you're majorly upset with me because somehow you missed what I said 4 days ago. 4 days ago, I said for the third time that the Messiah must suffer. He must suffer. That this is my body which is broken for you. What did you think I mean when I said that? But you weren't ready to hear what I was saying because you're just waiting for a military victory. But what I'm saying is suffering. I'm going to suffer. Surprise, I said to you, you're going to suffer. And he breaks it open to them. But he's so patient. And what he does is he changes. What happened for these disciples is their God view and the image of Jesus was shattered, and the image of themselves as disciples in the kingdom of God. They had this Victoria mindset, Victoria, secret mindset, victorious mindset. Of I am the champion and we're going to rule the world. And if I'm with Jesus, then nothing can touch me. It's like he thought all those things. But Jesus saying, I and my kingdom is not there. My kingdom is not that kingdom. My kingdom isn't here to destroy the Roman Empire with force. My kingdom is not to do that. You got excited when I said I am and the 400 soldiers just wiped over. You got excited about that, but that's not where I am. My kingdom reigns through suffering, kindness, generosity, patience, forgiveness, love. This is who I am. And they, for these two disciples, that was their mindset. And Jesus saying, oh, can we go back to the text? Can we read it again? Now that you are forced to reevaluate what you believe, let's go back to the text. Moments of disappointment are beautiful for, it gives us an opportunity because it helps me to reevaluate what I think God is like and what Jesus is like. It helps me reevaluate it. It destroys my God view in a sense. It doesn't destroy God. It just breaks down. It gives me opportunity to reevaluate my own ideas which I impose on God, the image of God that I have. It's beautiful. It's really, really good. It's really uncomfortable. But I want you to see how patient Jesus is with these people. He took 7 miles. He took biblically speaking, it's accurate, correct, but it's figurative also. A full distance, the fullness of the distance. He will walk with you as long as he needs to walk with you for you to get this. Jesus will walk with you as long as he needs to walk with you. I want you to be patient with yourself and with your friends next to you that went through a really hardship. You know, in the charismatic church especially, we are bad with this. We just want to say, I'm going to pray with you once and then everything's over. You're struggling with a major disappointment with God. I'm going to go, Shandai, Shandai. Okay, you better. Thanks. And Jesus doesn't do that thing. Christ Almighty doesn't do that. He says, let me walk with you as long as I need to walk with you. I'm going to go through the whole Bible with you. I'm going to walk with you patiently as long as I need to walk with you. I will walk with you so that you can know me for who I truly am, not who you want me to be. for who I truly am. This is beautiful. And then they still don't know who he is, but they're good Jews, good Middle Eastern people saying, no, we don't want you to sleep on the street at night. Will you please come to sleep with us? In fact, we really, really like, won't you just do that Bible stuff with us again? Just come inside. And then they go inside, and then they had a simple meal there, like they always had a simple meal. Peasant people, and they just says, okay, let's have a meal. And Jesus takes the bread, and he takes the lead as the host. They honor him, and he breaks the bread. And as he breaks the bread, they go like, 4 days ago, you did exactly this thing in exactly the same way. And they had a moment of, oh, you are the Christ. And you said to us last time when we did this, this is my body which is broken for you. And your body was broken. And now you're with us. And Jesus says, my job here is done. Zoo. And he's gone. And they go like, Jesus really rose from the grave. Like, really? And what more do you want for your hope to be restored than that? It's like, we thought you were just going to destroy those who kill us. Now you destroyed death. Not just for us, but for the whole world. You actually rose from the grave. And you can find us anywhere. And they go like, we got to tell our friends this. Because everyone was hopeless when we left them there. In fact, they said they're going fishing. And we're done with fishing as well. So then they ran back, and when they got back home, I want you to see what they went back for. They went back to encourage their friends, to tell them, guys, we were hopeless, you were hopeless, we've regained hope. We saw Jesus. We understand everything now. We thought that Jesus just came for this whole military coup thing of Jerusalem. It's way bigger than that. It's not just the Maccabean revolt of 200 years ago. It's way bigger than that. It's like he came for something way more than just us to win the Romans. He's got a different agenda. His kingdom is way bigger than that. And that's amazing. They ran back to encourage. I find this so helpful to plot myself here for where I am now in those four squares. And I think you can do the same. You know, at some time in our lives, we're just hopeless. I've waited long enough. I prayed. It didn't happen. My mom died of cancer. And Jesus didn't do the most reasonable request. I mean, how many people has he healed of cancer? And he hasn't healed me yet. Hasn't healed my mom yet. You know, we've been trusting God for so long for a baby. It's such a reasonable request. We hear in Shofar stories, there are so many people who have babies. And I work in the hospital, you know, and like everyone has babies except me. And you go like, Jesus, isn't this the most reasonable request? And you go up, well, maybe Jesus isn't who I thought he was. And then you just take your stuff and you walk away from Jerusalem. You're like, you haven't even decided whether you're going to give up permanently or just temporarily, you know. Are we moving up out or are we just divorcing? I don't know yet, but I'm just moving away. And that's where you are in your heart. And it's so good to be honest with where you are. If you are really disappointed, or you're just disappointed with Jesus and you figure out that maybe this thing in your heart is because, you know, you were really violated at some point in your life, and why didn't Jesus protect me? I mean, I gave my heart to him when he was 6, and why did he allow that thing in my life? And it's not a fuzzy thing. It's a big thing. It's not petty. And it's not just a thing, well, I'm just going to get my head over our debt and continue with life. You can ignore it for a while, but it's coming back. You got to face it. You got to bring it to Jesus saying, okay, so I'm really disappointed. Just know that if you do that honest, I'm disappointed thing with Jesus, you don't have to walk away. You can just tell him. Just acknowledge where you are in your heart with him and his kingdom and his plan for life. Just acknowledge it. And just tell him. And I can tell you he's going to walk with you. He's going to walk with you as long as it takes. I just want to tell you that Cleopas was such a wise man because he didn't walk alone. Don't isolate yourself. It's pointless to isolate yourself in your pain, the word that we had tonight. Don't isolate yourself in your pain. And don't feel stupid because you're walking away. Just tell him that I'm hopeless. I'm really, really hopeless. And you take a journey and you walk as long as it takes. Just take someone with you with this disappointment. Just tell him, I'm really, really disappointed. I'm really, really, I've lost hope. I can't trust you for other stuff anymore because, you know, I trusted you for this thing. What's the point of having a faith in God if I can't trust you to do the most reasonable thing? And you have to tell God that. You have to tell Jesus that. Tell him, this is what I'm thinking. And you walk with him. But do what Cleophas. And I tell you, if you talk to someone about that, Jesus is going to pitch right there. Because that's what he wants you to talk about. Your disappointment. He really wants you to bring that to the light. Talk about it. Don't hide it. Talk about it. Tell him it's difficult for me to pray about things. Because the last time I prayed about stuff, exactly the opposite happened. And then allow him to show you who he is and what it's about. Allow him. Allow him to change your perspective. Allow him to show himself saying, listen, this is who you thought I was. I'm not that. It's like, I'm a bit bigger than that. Not saying it's not important. Not saying your pain is not true. He went to the cross for that. He took your pain, your infirmities, your sickness on the cross. Never ever to deny the real issue. But allow yourself to talk to him. Because these disciples go like, I've given my whole life for you. What's this all about? Let me show you the big picture. Invite you to saying, I'm not done with what I'm doing here. I'm not over. You saw me on the grave, but I'm not done here. I'm busy. I haven't left you. I haven't forsaken you. Just a word that, who brought that? Sumay, donkey. That's the word of Jesus tonight for you if you're walking on the road. He's with you. Allow him to open it. And then, I love this, how Jesus reveals himself to these disciples. Not when he was breaking open the scriptures. Not when he was studying the Bible. He was giving them perspective. But there's something in the everyday, ordinary of life. The fellowship. That which, for Peter, it was when he was fishing. He was doing his fishing thing, his failed fishing thing, because nowhere in text ever, in the Bible ever, is Peter a successful fisherman. Not one of the three examples does he catch anything. So he's going back, I'm going back to my fishing. And then Jesus just goes like, Peter! And he doesn't recognize Jesus. Jesus is like, I'm waiting for this. Peter! Throw it on the other side! It's like, what do you know, man? It's like, throw it on the other side. He goes, 172 fish. The boat starts sinking. He goes, I know that person. I've had this meeting with you before. It's only Jesus. And he jumps out and he says, it's in the familiar of life. Where you met Jesus beforehand. Where do you meet him beforehand? Just go to that place and see him for who he truly is. Allow him to meet with you as he always has. Where you meet with him. Where you meet with him. Those familiar moments with him in the breaking of bread. For them, it was the breaking of bread thing because it was just 4 days ago. And this is what they always did. They always had meals together. And they go like, this is Christ. But I want to say, it's practically, and we're going to break bread tonight. It's in the breaking of bread, that moment we realize this is why Jesus came and this is who he is. He is the one who literally was broken and torn for my pain and the pain of the whole world. That's why he came. This is who he is. This is not fake. The meeting on the cross was a real thing and he overcame. And this is the moment they go like, oh, you died and you're resurrected. This is amazing. We saw you bleeding out on the cross. We were there. We saw you being tortured by Pilate beforehand. We saw you being beaten by the gods. We saw you being arrested. We saw everything. You did that really for me, for us, for the salvation of the world. Maybe you're there. Maybe you've regained perspective, but your heart is just not ready for what Jesus is wanting to do with you. Then meet him in those places with your friends. Or maybe at the moment you're not hopeless. You've been hopeless in the past. But Jesus has found you and has brought you back and you've met him. Then I want to say that if you, these two guys running back, please do what these two men did. They ran back to their friends who were hopeless as quick as they could. They ran back to their friends saying, listen, their friends saying, I know that you're hopeless. We're not. I was hopeless. But then I saw Jesus. I saw him for who he is. He appeared to me. He came looking for me. We ran away. He came looking for me. And you go back to your friends. But don't just enjoy, ooh, I'm not hopeless anymore and I'm going to continue with my own life. These guys go like, I know my friends need to hear this. And the funny thing is, as they went into that room, they said, hey, stop. I know that you were hopeless. I'm so glad to see you again. Jesus has risen. And they go like, we know. And then Thomas is like, I don't trust that. And then where's Jesus? Zoom, in the room. He's saying, Thomas, put it here, Poppy. This is me. This is really me. You're a ghost. He says, touch me. I'm not a ghost. And then he says, blessed are those who believe without seeing, based on the testimony of others. I'll show you what you need to show you, but blessed are those who don't need this. I'll show you what you need to show you. But, and this is so beautiful to me. So you hear somewhere, and probably you know, talking to you, but maybe you just know that at the moment, I'm finding Jesus in the text, and he's helping me to make sense of my real disappointment. You know, and the easy answer sometimes is, I was wrong or Jesus was wrong. I'm saying, don't just go for that without wrestling with Jesus in the text, with a friend. But talk to a friend about your pain, about your disillusionment. And don't just think it's fine. If you've spoken to someone and it's not gone, then just phone them up again and say, let's walk with Jesus. Because I'm not done. This is not fine, you know. My head says I should move on, but my heart is not moving on. Don't act as though everything is fine with your faith in God if everything is not fine. Don't act as though everything is fine and it's not fine. Wrestle with Jesus as long as it takes. Have them communion with him as long as it takes. It's about regaining perspective in who he is. It's about restoring the friendship and about restoring the hope. And a friendship, I mean, in a divine sense. Relationship, the open relationship with God, and restoring hope in your heart.